A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 5th chapter. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the 2nd chapter. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 1st chapter. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These past two Wednesdays, we've heard and meditated on that glorious truth that Jesus, our Lord, is fully man and fully God. He's both of those things. He has each one of these natures. Now today, this week, we take a moment to consider and to take to heart the truth that these two natures are united in one person of Christ, and what this means for us. Now, St. Luke recorded the visitation of the angel Gabriel to Mary, and he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The angel speaks to Mary of this child to be born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, as the Son of God, the Most High. So when we see the scriptures speak about Jesus, they refer to both his humanity and his divinity, yet this is all in reference to one person. The person of Christ is not divided, rather his two natures are united in what we call in theology the hypostatic union, which means the personal union. So not simply to just sound theological or to impress people at parties, although if you're using that term, I don't know what party you're going to, maybe at the seminary you can impress people at parties with that. But it impacts your daily life. It's important for you as a baptized child of God and even into eternity. You see, your salvation has been accomplished because your Lord is fully God and fully man. You've been hearing that these past 2 weeks. He lived without sin in perfect obedience to the law of God and his Father for your sake, as only he could do as God in his whole person. We heard a few minutes ago, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So your Lord has fulfilled the law of God. He is obedient to the Father as only he could do. And he died to atone for your sin as only he could do, to make satisfaction for your sin and satisfy God's wrath against you. And he is raised from the dead, and his humanity is glorified as you will one day be raised to immortality and incorruption. This work of Jesus, done in both natures by his whole person, then has saved you. This is your redemption, who your Lord is and what he does. Now that's obviously nothing insignificant, but means everything for you as the redeemed people of God. Your Lord is Jesus. Jesus is God. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of rule and authority. So he is, in his whole person, the one who has authority, who rules and reigns over his church and all things. He does this in his person, for even as his resurrection and ascension, even after his resurrection and ascension, he is still fully God and fully man into eternity. And you see, this is where God consoles you, and where you find great comfort as the people of God, in this personal union of Jesus. Jesus, in his whole person, is still with you. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he meant what he said, and he still means that for you today. So think about that as you go through this life, that your God is near. Your God is not far off. Because Jesus is fully God and fully man, and these natures are united, you have Jesus who is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, interceding for you, and you also have Jesus who is with you now and always, and in very particular and saving ways as well through the word and the sacraments. So in the means of grace, you not only have the presence of Jesus, but you have him for you and for your benefit. And Jesus has attached promises to these means. So as you start to think about this and what God has done for you and still continues to do, you see in your baptism, you have the forgiveness of sins, you're rescued from death and the devil, and eternal salvation is given to you. But you see, you have also been clothed with your Lord in baptism, as Galatians 3 proclaims, for as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You've been united with Christ in those baptismal waters, and through faith, as St. Paul writes in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Also in that reading from Colossians a few minutes ago, that teaches you the fullness of God dwells in Christ, you hear something about yourself in that too. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, but canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And you know, think about this comfort too, even as you think about death. For even in death, you have your Lord who is with you and the benefits he gives. So these next 2 days here at St. John's, we have a funeral tomorrow and we have one on Friday. And at the beginning of that funeral service, right at the entrance of the nave, a funeral pall will be put over the casket of Bill Lehman and over Cletus von Susten. And Pastor Belcher tomorrow and me on Friday will read words from Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a death and a resurrection like his. So Jesus, who is fully God, who is fully man, who is with us, who has clothed you with himself, even in death, and life, and death, and to life everlasting, that's who your Lord is. That's who Bill's Lord is, Cletus's Lord, all of us as the body of Christ. So it's no wonder, too, why the doctrine of the Lord's Supper is so connected to who Christ is and both of his natures and the union between the two. So Jesus, as God, communicates attributes or properties of his divinity to his humanity in this union of his person. So what does that mean? So Jesus, who has ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, is still present with you in this world now. And likewise, Jesus says in the words of institution, this is my body. It really and truly is his body given to you in the Lord's Supper, in with and under the bread, and the bread, or rather united to the bread, and what is called the sacramental union. Now, can you fully explain this? No. Can you fully comprehend this? No. But you have what the Lord says, and you trust him. You take him at his words, not doubting Jesus. So real comfort and consolation are lost then when we try to take the person of Christ and divide him, and when there's no real communication of who he is as God to who he is as man. You're left with a Christian faith that must ascend into the heavens, or just as simply some spiritual notion rather than both physical and real spiritual things as the Lord who comes down to you and is for you, even now. So that's why you hear from the scriptures about who your Lord is, why you hear about what he does and what this all means for you. It's wonderful. Now, Article 8 of the Formula of Concord concerns the person of Christ. And the Solid Declaration closes in a way that admonishes you, but it also comforts you today as you hear all of this and take it to heart who your Lord is, as we close up this last midweek service in this Advent. So the article concludes by stating, since in the Holy Scriptures Christ is called a mystery upon which all heretics dash their heads, we admonish all Christians not to arrogantly indulge their reason in crafty investigations about such mysteries. With the beloved apostles, they should simply believe. They should close the eyes of their reason and bring their understanding into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and rejoice without ceasing in the fact that our flesh and blood is placed so high at the right hand of God's majesty and almighty power. And this way, we will certainly find constant consolation in every difficulty and remain well guarded against deadly error. So dear people of God, as this Advent draws to a close, and tonight we have our children's Christmas program, and we think about Emmanuel, God with us, and we go through the great O antiphons of different aspects of who Jesus is and the different titles that he has. Fix your eyes on Christ and rest and find peace in your Lord Jesus. He is the Word made flesh, fully God and fully man, the one who has come, who still comes to you now, and is coming again. And you will behold your Lord, who has accomplished all things for you. You will behold your Lord God and see him face to face with your own flesh and blood on that day that he raises you to immortality and incorruption, that glorious last day, when you will behold with your own two eyes your God, who is fully man and fully God, who is your brother in the flesh, that day when you no longer have sin, even as he no longer has sin, and you are glorified with all of God's saints forever. Amen.